takes me a moment to get collected here. Well, can you believe it? We're done with the book of Amos. Yay! But I wanted to follow up on that with a couple sermons this Sunday and next Sunday that carries on really from the book of Amos. Because as you recall from last week, Amos ends with the promise of the Messiah and how he would bring not only Israel back together, but include the Gentile peoples. And all through faith, all who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how is that to be? How is that to happen? Well, we find in Scripture, after Jesus resurrected, we find the answer to that question. You know, how does all this come about? We just celebrated the Lord's Supper. That's the foundation of it. And that's what we're going to look at in our Scripture today. So we're going to look at part one today and part two next week about how all this comes together. How do people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith, both Jew and Gentile alike? How does this happen? And I guess it comes down to this question. For us, at this point in time through history, the church has been around a long time, but what is the purpose of the church? What are we here for? What is our job in regard to Jesus Christ? Because it is a job. The Lord is our employer. He's called us to be His servants. So we have work to do. And just what is that work? Well, that's what these two Sundays will deal with. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He's appeared to His apostles. And in verse 46, He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Sometimes this little sentence gets watered down, but it's a very, very important passage. It starts out with the very foundation of what God set out when He created all things. When He created Adam and Eve in the garden, it's interesting to me that He never said it was perfect. All He ever said was, at each part of creation, it is good. And after He created Adam and Eve, He said, it is very good. But that's still not the superlative. It still wasn't perfect. Because perfection would be as long as Adam and Eve chose to love God and did not sin. Then it would have been perfect. But God knew that they would, you know, have this choice and choose wrong. And so He had planned before He created anything that He would pay for the price of sin so that people could choose to love Him or not. It would come down to whether people would appreciate God's grace or not. And the key part of that was God paying for our sins. Thus it is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That word suffer encompasses everything Jesus went through. It encompasses His leaving the comforts and the wonders of heaven, of being God Almighty and being born of a virgin. You know, Mary carrying Him for 9 months and then being born and growing up. And then His ministry and all the years of dealing with the sinfulness of mankind living among us. That could not have been an easy thing, and yet Jesus remained innocent. Never committed a sin. But He was surrounded by sinners. Even people who loved Him were still sinners. And during His ministry, called His disciples. And as all you have to do is read the gospel accounts and you find out how many times they were very trying. They had to get on Jesus' nerves from time to time because of their imperfections. But He hung in there. And even when it came time for that sacrifice, as He's praying in the garden, the disciples could not keep awake. And Jesus said, could you not stay awake? But He hung in there. And as He hung on that cross, even before the cross, all the beating and the humiliation, He endured it and He could have stopped it. But He knew He was there to suffer. Think about that. Jesus knew He was here to suffer. That's why He came, to suffer. and then to suffer the agonies of the cross. Death itself would be a release from that agony. But as he was hung on that cross dying and then giving up his own life, he was doing it because that was the only way to pay for us. The only way to give us true choice. Everyone in the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Jews, as they were going along, it still came down to God's grace and whether they would love God or not. And the history books of the Old Testament show us time and time again how the Israelites failed. But through it all, there was always a core of people who were believers, who trusted God, who did not stray. And it's through their faith in God that Jesus Christ makes their faith valid. He paid for their sins. That validated their faith. And he paid for our sins, and so that validates our faith in him. And he rose again on the third day, conquering death, so that now we could have the promise, the hope of eternal life with God in the place he's preparing for us. But how does that apply to us? How do we reach our own resurrection? Well, it comes through the preaching work of the church. That's what he says here. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. That started on the day of Pentecost and has been continuing ever since. And even after the church grew to such a size of about 5,000, persecution broke out, the people scattered. But the apostles did not. They stayed in Jerusalem. But it was the Christians, the church members, that scattered and took the message of Christ wherever they went. Preaching the word of God is the work of the church. It's the first primary obligation of the church. Proclaiming the need for people to repent and be forgiven. Because you see, just because Jesus died on the cross didn't mean he paid for everybody automatically. Now everybody's going to heaven. Some people think that. But if that's all there was to it, then we could have stopped. God could have stopped at the end of the Gospel of John. Who would need the book of Acts? Who would need the letters that Paul and Peter and James wrote? Who would need them? No one. So it still comes down to, in the church age, it's the same as in the Israelite age, the Mosaic age. People must come to a faith relationship with God. And now, for us, on this side of the cross, we come to God through Jesus Christ. And that what we proclaim is not just, oh, isn't this nice, you get to go to heaven if you believe in Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if it was that simple? And unfortunately, over history, Christian people have kind of watered that down. We see it in many churches and many places where, you know, oh, you get your kid baptized. And then maybe later on at a certain age there's confirmation or something like that. None of that can be found in the Bible. None of that is of God. It's man-made. And the problem with it is it does away with repentance. Who needs to repent? I've had some water applied. Someone prayed over me. I'm going to heaven. And I've actually seen certificates that churches have handed out saying, your child is now going to heaven, and your job is to love them and help them know the love of God. Well, isn't that nice? But it's not what Scripture says. Because you see, if it took for God to leave heaven, if it took for God to walk among us, if it took for God to suffer and to be humiliated and to be crucified and to die, then there's got to be more than just, isn't this nice, I get to go to heaven. The preaching of the church, the preaching of the Word of God, is people need to repent. That is, you are living without Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. You are caught up in sin, sin that separates, sin that is so bad that it took God to pay for that sin. And God was willing to do it. Do you care? Do you care that God loved you so much to pay for your sin? And if the answer is, well, no, I don't care. I can't believe that. Well, then it doesn't apply to you by your choice. But when you realize the seriousness of your sin, your need for Jesus, that's when forgiveness comes into play. That's the message that we bring to a world. And we look at our world, and what do we see in our world? Selfishness, hatred, evil all around us. People are lost. Oh, it's easy for us to look in places like Afghanistan and other places where there's war and atrocities going on. But even all around us, we have people who are selfish, self-centered, having evil thoughts, doing things that are opposing the very things that God holds valuable, working against the Word of God, not even working with God. And many of them are very nice people. But the problem is they're content in their sin and think that God will be content with that too. But the message is always repent. Remember at the beginning of the Gospels, what did Jesus start doing when he began his ministry? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now the message of the church is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's here. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, and his people is the church. It has come. Now, the ultimate hasn't come yet, but the church, the people of God, is here. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And if you want to be with God forever, you must realize your lostness and turn your life over to him. One of the sad things, I think, in our world is that young people, children, are growing up without knowing the Lord. What are they learning? They're learning all the things they see on TV and online. They're hearing parents who are always at war with each other. They're seeing all kinds of terrible things. They're hearing the words that people say, the foul words, the bad language, and everybody thinks it's okay. But remember what Jesus said, to lead a small child astray, someone who does that should have a millstone hung round their neck and thrown into the sea. You see, parenting in God's eyes is extremely important. Extremely important. Impacting the lives of young people is extremely important in God's eyes. And if we lead children astray, then to God we are our fodder. We just as well be put to death right now. That's God's attitude toward all who would lead a child astray. Why? I have a sermon coming up next year about children as I was looking at our stained glass windows. Children are born, just like us, in the image of God. And they come into this world as innocent, impacted by sin in this world. You know, we all live with it. We inherit it somewhat. But every child is innocent. But then they begin to learn and to grow. And what do we teach them? What do we fill into those little lives that are just soaking up all that's around them? Do they know love? Do they know compassion? Do they know family? Do they know what love for one another is? And do they come to learn what God is? Because at some point in their life, they're going to reach a point where they realize that I'm not perfect, that I'm a sinner. And at some point, when they begin to wrestle with that, when they begin to wrestle with the issues of right and wrong and the issues of life, and not just that everything's okay, but you know, everything's not okay, and they finally realize that, that's when they realize they need a Savior. Because they're okay when they're younger. You know, Jesus had the little children come to him. He blessed them. And that's when he said, anyone who leads them astray. And the problem is, people lead them astray just as you and I were led astray. We were influenced by the sins of our parents, influenced by the sins of our siblings, influenced by the sins of our educators, influenced by the sins that we watch on TV and the books that we read. We are influenced and influenced and influenced. And I find it fascinating looking online now at some of the news items. There are people who have the title of influencer. Where in the world did that come from? but it's accurate because we all influence. And thus, children need to know enough about God and His love so that when they reach that point where they start to wrestle with that, they can turn to Jesus Christ and find that forgiveness. Because forgiveness is what we need. What we don't need is, oh, you're okay. You're okay. That's all right. But the reality is we're not okay. We're not okay. Even now as Christians, no matter how old we are in Jesus Christ. We are covered by His blood. In that regard before God, yes, we're okay, but we're not okay because we're still struggling with sin. There's never a point in our life where we can say, oh, it's okay. I can use the Lord's name in vain if I want. It's okay. I can run around and cheat if I want to. It's okay. I'm a Christian. It's okay. My sins are covered. No, it's not okay. Sin is not okay. And that's why we continue to gather for worship. We continue to encourage one another. We study together because it's all about learning and growing the relationship with Christ. We are not where God wants us to be yet. At least I'm not, and I'm sure you're not. And that's what we're going to look at next Sunday, is the second part of that, growing in Christ. But right now, the first part is to reach out to a lost world. And that's what people don't want to hear. People don't want to hear Christians say, you need to repent because what you're doing or what you're thinking is wrong. Rather, they just want to hear the words, oh, well, you know, accept Jesus and you'll be okay. And so I can be what I want to be. There was a guy I read about this week who said, you know, I am the way God made me, so I've got to be okay. Well, no, you're not the way God made you. If you're rejecting the very teachings of God Himself, you are what the world has made you, what you've made yourself. But if God's making us, we are growing closer and closer to Him in the image of Jesus Christ. And that means when we are sharing with people, we need to expect people to repent. We need to expect them to understand their need for Jesus Christ and to change their life and turn to Him. We need to expect for people to understand that God wants to forgive. There is no sin so great that God cannot forgive. If you've murdered somebody, if you repent of that, truly turn to God and seek His forgiveness, God promises, I will forgive you. He forgave David. And you look at King David and the sins he did, and God forgave him because David realized his sin. If there was ever anybody who could have said, oh, I'm above it all, you know, I'm God's chosen, I'm king of Israel, I can do what I want. David knew better, didn't he? And so should we. And so when we're sharing with people, it's not just, you know, sugar-coated, oh, Jesus loves you. Well, yeah, Jesus loves you, but He expects you to repent. And it's time in our world, as our world is going more and more to pot, for Christians to stand up for what's right. What God says in His Word. This is the truth. And if you want to reject it, that is your choice. But I'm here to tell you that if you reject God's Word, you reject God's authority, then chances are you're going to go to hell. And you know what? Some people are content with that. I had someone just 2 weeks ago say, oh, it's okay. Because they're not willing to understand. But that's their fault. But it's our fault if we don't share with people the truth. If we don't challenge them about their need for God and God's forgiveness. The world needs it. It's crying. It's hurting. And what can the world offer? Oh, let's just back off and let everybody knock themselves out. Let everybody kill each other off and we'll be okay. Let's see what we can legislate. Let's throw some more money at things. Let's throw some military at things. When the real answer is people turning their lives over to Jesus Christ. There is no peace in anyone's life without Jesus. And the recipients of this when we look at this passage is to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The word there for nations literally means ethnics. That means everybody, every tribe, every person, every nation around this world until Jesus comes again needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we support our missionaries. And some of our missionaries are in areas that are very, very tough and resistant. Does that mean they shouldn't be there? I've heard people say if you can't get a good group of people coming together, people aren't responding, you shouldn't waste the money. But they totally misunderstand what the Scriptures say. The Scripture says these things, repentance and forgiveness of sins, will be preached. Will be preached. The harvest is up to God. The harvest is the work of the Holy Spirit as He convicts. But the proclamation of the Word, the challenge to people, is our job. And so we have missionaries in areas they don't want to hear it. They're being persecuted. I don't know if you've read online about what's going on in Afghanistan. Not just Christians, but many Christians that are there have already been martyred in the name of Christ. Someone that I knew had posted on Facebook the other day. They were on the phone with a brother, or actually a sister in Christ. And they could hear screaming in the background and gunshots. And they said goodbye to each other. And the assumption is that she's dead. But Christians need to be everywhere holding out the truth, even if it causes our death. Because it cost Jesus His life, but He rose again. And if it causes our life, we will rise again. See, that's the promise. Death isn't the end of it. Death is not the end of our life. But it just leads us to the next step. And so Jesus' work is for every person, not just those like us, but everybody, every human being, the drunk on the street, the murderer on death row, the nice person who's a neighbor, the school teacher, the police officer, the drug addict, the prostitute, just the people working in the grocery store, no matter where they're from, whether they're from Afghanistan or some country in Africa or Europe or Asia, wherever they may be, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be proclaimed. And wherever it is proclaimed, God says His word will not come back to Him empty. There will be those who will respond. And that's the wonderful thing when you travel the world or you go to Christian conventions to meet people who have Christ in common, and they're from all over the world. The International Conference on Missions is coming up here in Richmond soon. And there's going to be people from all over the world there. Christians, just like you and me, who believe in the preaching of the Word of God to a lost world, because it's the only hope for individuals. Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. Father will be against mother, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother against daughter-in-law, and so on and so forth." What He was saying is not everyone's going to believe, and a lot of people aren't going to like you because you believe. But the message is still important because people need Jesus and that promise of eternal life. Let us not be lax in our responsibility of calling people to repentance. It's not being judgmental. Judgmental is when we sit back and say, "Oh, fine, you go ahead, go to hell, I don't care." That's being judgmental because that's condemning. That's the judging that Scripture says we shouldn't do. But rather, we should judge to the point where we say, "You're in danger. I recognize it. I can see it. You're in danger. Here's what God says." And there are times where we need to find ways to say it, to pray for God to give us the words at the right time in the right place, so that others may come to have the relationship with God that we have. Right now, we're going to sing a song called "Change My Heart, O God." And I toyed whether to pick this or not, and then I came to the conclusion that it does have a double meaning in light of what I'm talking about. If any here haven't yet given your life to Christ and you've not really cared to, and the message we hold out to others, you know, who have not really paid too much attention to God, they're not sure they want to do this, well, this is what we need to pray for them, that God will change their heart, that He will convict them, that they will respond in a positive way rather than rejecting Him. But there's also the part for ourselves, myself included. There are times where we can be so selfish. There's times where we can be comfortable with where we are and what we have. And it's easy. Life is easy. You know, we're not living in Afghanistan. We're not facing life and death issues. You know, we don't have to stand up for Christ. We can just live each day and be comfortable. But maybe I need to change my heart. Maybe I need to look around me at the people around me with a fresh vision, to see them as God sees them and see lost people, hurting people, people who need to be forgiven, and they're hurting. And maybe they won't want God's forgiveness. Maybe they won't want to hear from me. But then just maybe they will. And so I need to change my heart to be more useful in the hands of the Almighty God. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing.